Hello, Symphony. Glad you could join us for today's devotion. Today's passage is Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. In Revelation 20, this fascinating passage reveals a 1,000-year reign, also called the millennium, which symbolizes the captivity and binding of Satan, who is also described as the devil, the dragon, and the ancient serpent, like we see in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. During this period, Satan will be prevented from deceiving the nations. This period represents a time where the souls who have died for their faith in Jesus and have refused to worship the beast or accept its mark will reign alongside Jesus. Now, scholars have put forth various interpretations of this passage regarding the nature and timing of the millennium reign. Some take it literally as a 1,000-year period, while others argue that it is a figurative representation of a long extended time. There are also various perspectives on whether this reign will occur on earth or in heaven, or whether this period is yet to come or even presently happening today. Although certain aspects of this passage remain uncertain, what we do know with certainty is that Jesus will reign alongside those who were faithful in their testimony and witness and exhibited their loyalty and worship to him. In Revelation 26, it says that those who partake in the first resurrection are blessed and holy. It says that they will be priests of God and of Christ. Revelation 20 also illuminates the judgment of the great white throne. Verse 12 says that the dead are being judged by what was written in the books, according to what works that they've done. There's this comedy TV show about the afterlife, and it's called The Good Place. In it, each person accumulates points by good things they have done and gets points deducted by bad and questionable things they've committed. It then tiers them into levels of goodness or badness, and those that don't quite make the numerical cut are stuck in the bad place. I think oftentimes we kind of look at the Great Judgment like this. What have we done with our lives, and has the good tipped in our favor? But the final judgment day is not a scale that measures your life on works, but rather is a recognition that Jesus bore the weight of our judgment for us on the cross. But we also see that those who do not repent or are not covered by Jesus are thrown into the lake of fire with death and Hades, and there is no turning back after this. It is a remarkable passage, but what is most striking to me is the defeat of Satan in verses 7 to 10. After the millennium, Satan will be released. Verse 8 says that his army will be like the sand of the sea as they gather over the earth, surrounding the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds terrifying to me. But before Satan can do any harm or any deceit, fire comes down from heaven and consumes them, and the devil is thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur with the beast and the false prophet, and they are tormented day and night forever and ever. This is striking to me because this signifies the complete defeat of Satan. We are living in this already not yet. The enemy works were dismantled and destroyed by the cross of Jesus. Yet we are living before the return of Jesus, living in a still broken world, struggling with very real trials like war, famine, sickness, enmity, broken relationships, and addictions. We have access to the victory of Jesus, yet enemy still has ground on earth today, and this is something that is mysteriously allowed by God. But when Jesus returns, the enemy will be bound once and for all, consumed and tormented for all of eternity, and it is the ultimate defeat of Satan. One thing I love about this is the simplicity of it. We only get 4 verses about the final defeat of Satan. Now, normally in movies like The Avengers, Endgame, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, and Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2, the ultimate boss battle scene is the most climactic. How will good overcome bad? The whole series of these movies build up for the finale, and it's like everyone holds their breath to see what will happen next. But this is not a nail-biting story to see if God can finally defeat Satan or not. In fact, God just sends fire to consume them, and, well, that's it. And while I cannot give an answer of why God allows Satan freedom in the world right now, there is a day coming soon where his influence and oppression will be no more, and God will have the ultimate victory. Let's be clear, Satan is not God's equal, and God's kingdom will reign in triumph forever. These 4 verses are not the climax, but in tomorrow's chapter, we will see the New Jerusalem and God's kingdom fully unveiled as Jesus returns to reign over his people. As we witness the darkness and hopelessness in the world around us today, may we also be stirred to long all the more for his return, for we long for a day where all things will be made new. May we also take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as you illuminate this passage for us, that you would increase the yearning of our hearts for your return. Thank you for this passage, that because of you, the judgment that we rightfully deserved was took on so that we could live in the New Jerusalem. In the meantime, help us to be alert and ready for your return. Awaken us from our slumber and help us to seek you with great yearning today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.